Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Knights of the Round. Joining us this week is a special guest we have on, Lady M from the He Will Not Divide Us flag that took place in Tennessee. Joining us for the conversation is Sir Bancelot and Steadfast Sigmire. Yeah, so the question is like you say, how did you get involved in this then? What was your, your motivation behind getting involved with the flag grab? Are you alt-right? Are you white nationalist? Are you just traditional? You know, what were your motivation?
I call myself alt-right, but I'm definitely a white nationalist. I'm pro-white before I'm anything else. My people most definitely come before my political leanings, 100%. So now, I wasn't always that way. I used to be a nice little blue-pilled sheep, but I was never liberal. I was always considered myself Republican, I guess, but really wasn't involved in politics at all. But yeah, I had seen, season one and what was going on with that. And being on poll for as long as I've been on poll, I'm obviously a troll. So it was a mixture of one, just wanting to kind of prove to Shia, you know, this is Tennessee and your crappy little flag, you know, doesn't need to be here. And then probably my most driving factor, though, was just simply being able to troll Shia. You know, like I sat there, I watched his silly little shows whenever I was a kid and then watched his movies whenever they came out, and never in a million years thought that I would, you know, be driving all over Greenville screaming re underneath the bridge to see if guys on a webcam could hear me.
Screaming re. <me. laughs> Love
yes.
that.
Yes, you can. I told him on there because there was a guy that I was talking to on Twitter. It turns out he was actually at work, but I didn't realize that until after all of this was said and done. And bless his heart, he kept telling everybody on the thread to, you know, you guys should message her. But everybody ignored him. Nobody messaged him. And messaged me. And in the meantime, you know, I was messaging him and he was posting the screenshots. So, but yeah, my horn, me and driver had drove all the way up there. And my horn doesn't work on my car. So, but I have a really loud muffler on my car. So we were going around revving the engine. Really, it was very obnoxious. I was pretty embarrassed about it. But it's all we had to work with.
Set out without the horn working.
Another little funny side fact about all this that was hilarious, because obviously all of the like Pepe and Keck stuff, and one of the first things people noticed when he moved the live stream to Tennessee is they could hear frogs in the background. Like, that was just a sign, wasn't it?
And there was, even out there that day, because, you know, we ended up, after we found it, we had parked there at the end of the road, which drove the homeowners absolutely insane because they couldn't do anything about it. We were on public property. But you could hear the frogs even then. You could hear them.
It was fated to be.
Oh, it was awesome. But yeah, I had woke up. I keep jumping back and forth. I had woke up that morning and I seen the chatter about it on Twitter. And I went to the thread on He Will Not Divide Us on 8chan. And there were so many shills. And you guys know, if there's shills, I mean, there's something good going on. So I finally managed to find out, you know, I checked with somebody else, is it for sure in Greenville? Because I couldn't tell, the shills were thrown out so many different locations. I wasn't 100% for sure which was the right location. So I went and I woke up driver Anon and told him, you know, poll thinks that the flag is in Greenville and it's X amount of time away from here. You know, obviously we have to go. So he got up, he looked at me, he said, yeah, we're going to Greenville. We got everything around. I ended up having to take a little side trip over to Walmart and walk through the Greenville Walmart asking where the laser pointers were, foghorns, air horns, binoculars. We were going to try to get a drone, but I was afraid it wouldn't stay charged. You know, I didn't have any way to charge it. I was afraid it wouldn't work, so... Yeah.
You give the game away, drawn in the middle of the field. Oops.
That was one of the first ideas the Brit Bongs had when it moved over here as well. It was attach a flamethrower to a drone and burn the flag down.
Well, I was in that chat. I was trying to talk them into getting one of those portable battery-operated soldering irons and attaching that on there. because I thought, you know, flamethrower, God, they're going to burn the whole building down.
You're talking about the Liverpool one there?
Yeah,
that's my hometown. No one in my hometown is smart enough to cobble that together. You can steal a car, but you won't be able to do that.
You got some good free runners, though, it seems like.
Well, yeah, well, that's the thing, mate. When I was growing up, that's what I used to do. My dad used to say when parkour became famous, he was like, didn't you used to call that playing out?
And, yeah.
I swear to God, I would have been able to get to that flag. When I saw it was in Liverpool, I instantly knew where it was. Just like, I thought, oh, I need to go home. I need to be able to climb. I know exactly how to get that. But then it was done by the end of the day anyway. So
I would go to it, though. I'd planned that afternoon. I thought, right, I'll go and grab the flag myself. And it turned out before I even got my train ticket, someone had got it before I did. Mm. I was so gutted about that.
Same with me.
Wanted that flag so bad.
I've got no excuse.
Yeah.
5 hours away, but like to be part of that, I would have gone up there. I'm not very good at climbing, but I'd love to see what went on. You were talking about Brotherhood earlier, Bancelot. You should find these alt-right free runners in Liverpool and start an alt-right free running society.
It'd be cool. Let's find out who it was, actually. I wonder if I know any of them from childhood. That'd be really interesting as well.
They look quite young.
Yeah, but, you know, areas and stuff. But...
Okay, so should we get back to the Hundu story? You and your tactical equipment.
Yeah, that way. Yeah, you got a good memory there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were probably looking like a terrorist.
Well, that's the thing about me. I'm small and I'm unassuming. I just blend in. So I don't think they really thought anything about it. And plus, I have this air about me where I just try to be kind of bubbly about it. So I just cheerfully asked her, you know, where the stuff was. And she directed me to it. She took me to it. They were out of the air horns. The only laser pointer that I could find had little kitty paw prints on it. And I stopped down the road and tried to test it. It wouldn't even show up on a fence post that was 3 feet in front of me. So it was worthless. I got the binoculars, which I still have. I was going to take them back, but I thought, no, I'll keep them. And so we headed back down there to the spot. Now, in the meantime, we had already drove past the house a couple times and revved our engine. So naturally, you know, the chain was going crazy. We hear it.
Watching this like so via Discord or via 4chan or something?
Well, I couldn't get, for some reason, 8chan would not load for me. It would load. I could see what was being said, but I couldn't comment. That's how it came in with the screenshots being posted. Mm. And of course, when I first let them know, you know, hey guys, I'm here, they just thought I was LARPing. So I had to do the first initial timestamp where I put my Twitter tag and I put it up in the background. You could see the background of the hills or something back there. That's when they figured out that I was a woman. They seen my fingernail. So, but yeah, I was
that's
reading the thread. I just
yourself.
Couldn't comment on it. Yeah. Normally I pay attention to that stuff, but I was so excited about being there.
If it doesn't dox you too much, maybe we can get copies of these images and put them into the video.
Or just your fingernail, just for a laugh.
Well, it's a different color nail, so it wouldn't be the same. But now the images are all out there. I can probably pull them up for you.
Yeah.
Because most of the originals I deleted when the homeowners called the police. And the police came up and was asking me, driver Anon and a local bike Anon. Initially I thought he was the enemy. I thought he was actually from the house because the first time we drove through he wasn't there, and the second or third time that we came through he was there on his bike. So I gave him a really mean look, which I later apologized to him for. But I thought he was from that house. I figured he was trying to get my tag number, so he ended up chasing us down on his house.
Sorry, I was going to say, how did you know that the house were, like, pissed off with you? And was it because you were being too loud or what?
Oh, well, I think my loud, annoying muffler drew them out. Because, like I said, we made a couple drive-bys to make sure that what they were hearing was my engine. Mm. So, and when I say we were revving it, I mean all the way down the road.
So did you have, people coming out the house and shouting and stuff?
Yeah, like little, I don't know what you guys call them here, but or where you live, but here, little piss ants. They were like little piss ants running out of the house. There was three or four of them, And it's like 1 second they weren't there, and the next thing you know, they're just all coming out of the house. And this is right about the time that we came across Baikonon. I gave him the mean look, and he chased us down on his bicycle. Seeing the Trump stickers on my car, so when we got to the stop sign, he stopped us and asked if we were looking for a flag. Driver Anon immediately says yes. I, at the same time, bark out no. And then I noticed the binoculars in his shirt. I asked him where he came from. He said that he had come from Pole. So I kind of believed him after that. I decided he wasn't the enemy. So we all got out. We got out of the car, and we were talking with him. And that's when the police showed up. It probably didn't help ease the homeowners' minds any when we're standing in the road and there's two pairs of binoculars out staring at them. So, but again, we're from Pole, and we're a little bit autistic, I suppose. So it's only natural that we would be ogling at them with our binoculars, I guess.
Nighttime bird but watchers, yeah, so, is what you should have said.
Well, we actually, we joked about when we seen the cop pulling up, Baikonon had mentioned that we were going to tell him that we were bird watching, but we ended up just telling him that we were enjoying nature. And in the meantime, while this is going on, I'm frantically deleting those pictures on my phone. I think I've only got like two original pictures now. The rest are only screenshots. But yeah, I'm deleting it with this goofy grin on my face. I'm not good at being deceptive at all. I was trying to act casual, like I'm supposed to be standing in the middle of this road with binoculars. Yeah, the cop comes up. I think right about the same time that we noticed the cop, I happened to pull up Twitter again, and the gentleman that I've been talking to that was posting the screenshots for me told me that some Maldraw or something like that on Twitter. Originally he was from Pole, and he wrote all those little comics, Christ Chan or something like that, and nobody liked it, so he got hurt and he left Pole, and now he's, you know, Pole's his number one enemy, and he spends all of his time stalking Pole. Found the homeowners, because you know how Pole is. As soon as I posted the picture with the mailbox, they had pulled up all the info on the people. So he found the woman on Twitter, told her that we were out there, and that we were posting pictures to a website of her house, which honestly we hadn't. I'd taken a picture of the mailbox, and I took a picture, a distant picture of the flag. Her house was never in it. But he said that we were taking pictures and posting it on the internet on a website. And so she called the police, and that's when the cop came up and was asking if we were taking pictures and posting it on a website, and I said no, as I'm deleting the pictures off of my phone. He, you know, took some information from us, but I don't think that he actually called it out over the radio, which was a blessing because everybody was listening to the scanner at that point. So it would have been a huge dog. But yeah, and then there was a little bit of silence there, but he was a little bit rude at first. But he ended up being really nice, and he kind of added to our story a little bit and said, so you guys are just out here looking at the mountains. We said, yeah. He said, okay. And from what I heard after the fact, he radioed in and said, you know, they're not even doing anything. They're on a public street. So, and then we stood out there and talked to Baikonon for a while. And if you listen to the stream, you can hear us leave, and you can actually hear Driver Anon yell out, I think you said fuck you commies or something like that. You can hear it just vaguely on the stream. So, and then, yeah, we went home, but it was pretty awesome. Whenever I turned around and seen Driver Anon looked at me, he said, I found the flag. And I said, no, you didn't. He said, yeah, I found the flag. And I looked, and you could see it there just over the hill, just the very top of it. You could see.
So close, you could taste it. Yeah.
Yes.
I think I saw this picture, actually.
Right over there. Yeah, there's the first pictures that I took were just with my phone. And then we drove out to the gas station. I think actually that's when one of the homeowners got in their little white station wagon and they followed us to the gas station. So I think that's, they were trying to get my, you know, car info and all that. Then we went back. So we waited a couple minutes and we went back to the house again. And that's when I snapped the picture of the mailbox. So the Chans could have something to go by to get the street and all that stuff where it was at. And then we got the binoculars out and managed to hold the phone up just right and snapped a picture of the flag through the binoculars. So, but yeah, I went. I was very excited whenever we seen it. I actually ended up telling the guy on Twitter that I was talking to, like in all caps. I mean, I all capsed it. That I said, "I love you, glorious autistic bastards," or something like that. I mean, I was so.
We nailed it down so close. This is the thing, though, about that capture the flag thing, though. It was, again, like, it was such an affront, though, especially to the people of Tennessee, Heartland of Dixie in Tennessee. You know what I mean? Last place you put an "He Will Not Divide Us" flag. Yeah.
A small town that voted, I mean, overwhelmingly for Trump. I think I looked up the demographic on that, and they voted, I want to say it was like 4,000 Hillary votes in the whole town. I mean, it was overwhelmingly Trump. And yet he thinks he's going to come here and put that little shit-tier flag. He's going to expect it to stand up for 4 years. I don't know what he was thinking.
Well, it didn't even last 28 hours, wasn't it? Wasn't it the time frame the Americans caught it within 28 hours or something? A very short period of time.
I'm thinking it was like 28 to 32. I'm not 100% sure.
Because I know the British flag were caught a bit quicker, but the difference with the British flag was it was... He'd advertised it on Twitter and said, "Oh, look at what we're doing next." And it's like, idiot, you've just saved the Brit bongs a load of legwork now. And they can get the flag quicker. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he actually, I think it was Luke Turner that that I seen first. Now, Shy may have posted it first, but I seen Luke's first. And I believe he actually outright said where it was at in Liverpool. So yeah, that immediately, I thought, God, it's going to be hard to get. I mean, that's the only reason that he would feel secure enough. And even then, I mean, putting it on top of a building, and I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I'd heard there was security there during the night.
Yeah, they'd done extra security details just to make sure that none of, they even said purposely because of Paul, the Chans and everything like that, they said, "Oh, we're doing security just for them."
Yeah, because it wasn't, the flag wasn't safe. I mean, come on, she'd be thanking us for this, because nobody would have ever heard. Nobody wakes up in the morning and thinks, you know what, I really just want to look into Shia LaBeouf's political beliefs. I'm just going to look that up. No, the only reason anybody knows anything about it is because of us.
Like I said, the international game have captured the flag. It was quite fun, though, especially like because it was done in America first and then in Britbong land. And then there was this like, "Oh, you can do it quicker." I mean, obviously we had a head start, so it were a bit unfair for us to sort of claim credit on getting it done quicker. Like I said, the Americans...
So we didn't actually remove it, we just caused such a safety risk that they had to remove it.
Well, I thought the guy robbed it. I thought that was one of the things.
He didn't take it, because it was tied on with cable ties, and they didn't bring any scissors, which you don't normally bring when you're climbing.
Well, that's the thing, you see, the rules are in Britain is it would have been merely trespass the person got done with. If they'd been caught with scissors or knives, they'd have been classed as, well, it's 5 years for having a knife on your person in Britain. So,
I just don't think they expected it to be tied on like that either.
I would have done.
Called, but they escaped and nobody was arrested for it. So, and they got some funny selfies, and then the project got abandoned again.
The question is, though, where's it moving next, though? That's the question. And then it's to the audience. Yeah. If you're in that land, even if it's Antarctica, well, even if you're at McMurdo Station, get out there in the cold with your woolen coat on and go find that flag faggot.
There was jokes about it going to the moon, and then like Paul would just crowdfund like a SpaceX trip up there.
Really, though, so I think we would. I would donate.
Seriously,
to it.
Yeah, I would. I mean, enough autists giving $100, you can do anything.
Yeah, they were talking about crowdfunding us to get a drone. And then, of course, whenever the police got called, that switched over to, okay, we're going to crowdfund to get them all out of jail because they're all in jail. But,
I went silent there
for
it?
A little while. Yeah, I think I don't remember how much they ended up raising for him, but it was.
I think
some normies probably got in on that too.
Yeah, for sure. But it's amazing the power of the internet, isn't it?
It always cracks me up how quickly we can, you know, just this random board online, and I mean, drop of a hat, and we can all come together and make stuff happen. It's pretty cool.
Made me so like just cheered up by it all. I was like, yeah, look how easy it is for us all to work when we really want to, even though it's just like this jokey thing. Like, people can organize and do hard stuff.
I got so much joy from
it. It's like a global effort.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the white pilling thing behind all this, though, isn't it? Like you were saying, the way if we all put our minds to something, we can solve it. And something as simple as, like you say, grabbing the flag became not only fun and games and a bit of gallows humour while we're at it, but like you said, if we can work together in that endeavour, then like we were saying in the previous recording, we were talking about like the brotherhood and the sisterhood and things. It's like you were saying, Lady M, like you say, like a board of people all putting their minds together can do one thing. Well, then, you know, that would just over a flag, so imagine what else we can do when we put our minds to it.
Yeah, I mean, we did all that. Well, I mean, they did all that. I didn't do anything but, you know, drive up there and take pictures. But, I mean, we did all that just to laugh, you know. So, yeah, I agree. We could do a lot more if it were towards something that meant a lot more to us. Yeah.
Imagine what we could do if life and death was on the line.
No, I was just saying it certainly was. It was a nice reprieve, though, from, you know, all the serious stuff that's going on. It was nice to be able to take a little while out just to, you know, troll some insane washed-up celebrity. It was pretty nice.
Yeah.
So was that the end of your story? Like, you took you basically did the reconnaissance, or part of the reconnaissance at least. So you took these photos and you basically passed on the information to people who actually got the flag.
Yeah, we can leave it at that.
Okay, and so that was the end of your involvement, and you definitely didn't do anything illegal. And
no, I did nothing illegal. I was nowhere near the flag whenever it was taken. I was safely at home in my house listening to the scanner with the rest of the Jans.
Can you tell us a little bit about the aftermath then? So what happened next? Like, the flag was obviously stolen, and did you say something like they claimed it was worth $600?
Yes, they did, actually. They claimed there was a report in their local paper, Greenville Sun or something like that. They had talked to the homeowner, and she had apparently priced the flag as being worth $600. I heard through the grapevine that the flag is no way. I mean, if they paid $600 for this flag, they were completely gypped. I think it was probably more along the lines of she has made the flag, or somebody that they know has made the flag, and they're putting this price tag on it and claiming that it's art. Because, you know, like I said, and you can see from the pictures and stuff that were posted after it was taken, there were pictures that were posted, and they're pretty close up to the stitching on the flag, and you can see the threads just sticking out all over it. You can see that it's pretty much sheer. Yeah, I mean, you can tell it's not a good quality flag. If somebody paid $600 for that, they're insane.
Roughly,
it was, I don't know. I know it was measured at one point, but I can't remember what the exact measurements of it were. It was bigger, hypothetically speaking. It was bigger than what I had imagined it being. But it was probably just about the size of just your average flag that you would go out and get to, say, hang on a, you know, hang in your yard. It wasn't anything. It wasn't small, but it wasn't overly large either.
And when they got it, whoever it was took it, they cut up the letters and rearranged it into something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was quite a funny anagram they made. Can you remember what that was?
No, that was a Photoshop. Best of my knowledge, the flag is still very much 100% intact, very well taken care of, and is viewed as a relic.
They should sell it for $600.
They'd probably get $6,000 if they sold it now, or $60,000.
Sell it back to Shia.
I've heard offers of like $2,500. I don't know if that was 100% confirmed, but again, it's a relic. I don't see it ever going anywhere other than, you know, the occasional.
It could be a trap from the cops as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, there's really not a way that you could anonymously go about selling that, not safely anyway. So, but it'll probably pop up it actually has popped up from time to time in threads here and there with a new timestamp on it.
Do you reckon it'll become like a medieval relic, and in like a few years' time, it'll reappear again at like a crucial point in outright, you know, history? Yeah, it like was, a holy icon.
Come, like someone in the head with it.
Yeah.
When Shia went to his cuck shed, there was a picture that popped up then. You can probably find it around too. Something about a nice cuck shed. Shia, did your wife get that for you, or something like that? And I'm assuming he's out of his cuck shed now. So, and he had said during that whole Finland alone in the woods or whatever they decided to name that particular little fun bit of
alone
art.
Together.
There we go. Yeah. he had hinted at there being another season of Capture the Flag, which of course he's not calling it that, but that's what it is. He had hinted at it, but I don't know if anything's come up. It. I hope he does put another one up, though. I mean, he's still got the one from Liverpool.
Mm.
Feel like it's only fair for him to put it back up.
There's like a conspiracy theory out there that he's actually trolling 4chan.
If he is trolling 4chan, he is doing it wrong. I mean,
I don't know, though. Like, everyone's having fun, so it's kind of a win-win if he's trolling 4chan.
Yeah, the only person that's having any grief from it is him. As a matter of fact, the knot that it was taken, I was listening to the scanners because I had a pretty good hunch that it was going to turn up missing, that knot, obviously. I think we all did. And I was listening to the scanners, and the police were actually complaining about a male that was calling in. I think the last count that I heard was he had called in 6 times. And he was calling in about that flag. He had been advised by somebody to continue calling the police over the flag. And I guess there were supposedly people there that, I guess, just a small silent group of frog ninjas that were there trying to steal the flag. I only know of one confirmed person, I'm sure, that was there. There may have been two. But he called, and I take it he called so much that by the time the flag was actually taken, the cops were sick of it. They had had a terrible night that night. There had been a structure fire. Power lines were down in the road. There was a little old lady, bless her heart, she had died. A drug overdose, a breaking and entering that turned into a fight. And I'm not sure, but
some
I believe...
some people revving their engine around the place as well.
Yeah, yeah, there was that.
That drag race going on near that Capture the Flag that were going on.
And then there was... Now, I don't know if this is 100% confirmed. I hope it is, because it just adds to it. But supposedly there was a standoff between somebody with a baseball bat and somebody with a wooden sword, and the cops had to break that up. So they had, and this all happened in the span of 2 hours. I mean, these guys were just running their legs off. And in the meantime, you've got some unnamed male that's calling them upwards of 6 times, if not more, demanding that they come out and protect this flag. So by the time the flag actually came up missing, I know I listened for a little while after the flag was gone, and I didn't hear any mention of the flag. I take it the cops finally came down there, but it was a while after the flag was actually gone. So whoever taken it was probably well on their way back home. But again, that was because of the constant calls. And I mean, we can assume there's a possibility that it was Shia that was calling. So I always get a kick out of, you know, us watching the flag go down.
Where's my flag? Where's my flag?
And laughing.
Just do it.
Just sitting there pulling his hair and screaming because, you know, the flag's going and he can't stop it. And you know he knew the second it went down. Because at first, you know, we thought, well, is that somebody taking the flag, or are they just taking the flag inside? But Shia would have known immediately, you know, that's somebody stealing the flag. So
I'd love to imagine as well that you mentioned that standoff between the baseball bat and the wooden sword. I'd love to imagine that that's a Pepe like holding the wooden sword and Shia holding the baseball bat, like, leave my flag alone.
Well, you know, it just goes back to, you know, hearing the frogs whenever he first put the stream up. And I also get a kick out of thinking about, you know, him standing back and looking at the flag thinking, yeah, you know, those trolls, they'll never find this flag. And like standing there all satisfied looking at his beautiful flag that he paid $600 for. And then it's just the fact, you know, we heard the frogs, and then it's like all these things happened in that short time span of, you know, somebody getting up there and then managing to get to the flag. And the guy that took the flag actually put a picture out of the route that he took to get there. And it was a decent little trek.
I was going to say, one thing we haven't mentioned, if people don't know about it, but not only did the flag get taken down and stolen, I guess is the technical term for it, or captured, let's say, they also raised up a MAGA hat and a MAGA t-shirt as well. So
yeah, it was a Pepe t-shirt.
Steal their icons and then put yours in their place. Yeah, the ultimate humiliation.
It was the Pepe shirt. It had, it was Trump, and Pepe was like back behind him. I think it said alt-right is all right.
It just feels good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels. I've always wondered, like, whoever, you know, if eventually, because what did they do with the hat and the shirt? You know, they've probably got it locked up somewhere at that police station as some sort of crazy evidence.
Maybe so Shia somewhere wears it around the house.
But yeah, I don't know. It was obviously, it was fate. That flag was never supposed to stay there. Everything just lined up perfectly. But, oh, and I don't know if I mentioned, they said, too, the homeowner came out later and said that her field was caught on fire. That's when she actually cut the stream. Because, you know, they had that pitiful day there where they, I guess they were trying to defiantly keep the stream going. So it was just that blank flagpole.
Just keep the string going.
Yeah, they took down the MAGA hat.
I don't know what they were trying to prove with that. And I'm not even sad to say, I will openly admit to, I watched a good deal of my day was spent watching that stupid little string flap in the wind. But
I thought they'd put up another flag.
That's what I thought. I thought, you know, they're leaving this up for a reason. Well, the night after the flag was taken, fireworks were set off at the end of the road. And supposedly those fireworks caught her field on fire. I had been up there, the area was pretty wet. I don't see how a fire could have started from Roman candles. Honestly, it was too wet. But she still to this day swears that there was a small fire started in her field. She actually gone a while back and apparently was talking about how horrible it was that she was talking like there was just numerous people showing up at her yard and she in her yard and she was just terrified. It was her private property, which if you really want to get right down to it, whoever's in charge of their website never took down the invitation for everybody to show up 24 hours a day. It just said that the flag had been relocated. It never said, you know, private property, nobody is allowed. It just said it's a demonstration and everybody's allowed 24 hours a day. So, but I did have a local went down there and pretty well confirmed to me that there was no scorched marks. There was no field that was on fire. So I don't know what she's trying to accomplish with that unless it's just the typical victim complex going on. So, but yes, to wrap up, I did nothing wrong. I did nothing illegal.
Hey, I did nothing wrong.
Like I say, Lady M merely was the reconnaissance and the eyes on the ground at the time. But, I mean, be honest with you, like I say, every person has a role to play. And like this little story's played, like I say, you yourself, though, even though you didn't grab the flag, though, you're an integral part of actually acquiring it. So it just goes to show audience that everyone's got some part to play.
I've just been in rapt admiration, like a small child listening to Tales of War. No, it's been great.
We'll tell our grandchildren about this.
Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be more seasons.
I was talking to the people that were actually there. This is, I feel like I'm a real person. I'm someone special.
And now, a spot of tea time with the Knights of the Round Table.
So what are you saying about that black guy walking down the street?
Oh, yeah. He was just blaring his... I mean, I could hear it all the way, and I was not right beside him by any means. As a general rule, I tend to kind of hightail it whenever I see him coming. So, but it's not just that. It's you walk 20 feet down the road from that, and you see like two or three more. And I know that doesn't sound like a big deal. I mean, it's really not. But if you just knew my area before this, it's just you didn't see. And even my husband commented on it the other day, you know, like, where have these guys came from? It's like they just sprung up overnight. Yeah. And I moved my children from the school in the town right beside where I live now, because it was 100%, I mean, whites were most definitely becoming the minority there. And one really telling factor of that was the fact that they sent home letters at the beginning of the school year. They had altered the grading scale to where no matter what you make, I don't care if you turn in a paper and it's completely blank and you have done nothing and it should be a zero, they cannot score you below a 60. And to me, I mean, that's just really, it's really telling that basically, you know, no matter how bad you're doing, they can't score you too bad. It's just like our education system is just going completely and totally down the drain. And I see the direct relation to the increase in non-whites that I'm seeing. And it's, I had to email one of their teachers. This was back during the primaries for the election. Trump, you know, schools, I don't know if you guys do this there, but here we have like little mock elections. They'll have a mock primary in the school and they'll have a mock election. Well, they had done the mock election and Trump, or the mock primary, I'm sorry, Trump had won the primary. And I guess that just sent this particular teacher into an absolute tailspin. She just lost her mind. And it went from, it was supposed to be a social studies class. Well, they were no longer studying social studies. And the kids realized if they came in and mentioned Trump, the teacher would go into a Trump is literally Hitler tirade, and she wouldn't teach anything and they didn't have homework. So that's what the schooling was. And finally, my daughter came home one day and asked me if Trump was going to send everybody back to Auschwitz. She did not hear that from our house because we're hardcore Trump people. She's heard that from school and she's heard that from her teacher. And I just thought it was completely like, one, my tax dollars are paying you to sit there and tell my kid that she's going to get sent back to Auschwitz. I mean, this is ridiculous.
If you think about it, it's crazy though, isn't it? Because you're sort of paying for your own propaganda of your own children, aren't you? Through being taxed by the federal government. Because if you think about it,
slavery.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like, say, let's say you're a lefty propagandist, though, you'd try and do it for free. You know, you're trying to like win an audience. But the fact is, though, our system, it involves you paying money so your own children can be indoctrinated contrary to what you'd want.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And not even just indoctrinated, but the history that she's teaching is just 100% false. Like, my children thought, my oldest daughter came home. We were actually eating at a Chinese restaurant when she told me this one, and I nearly choked on my food. She just happily informed me that we went over in the dead of night. Nobody knew this, but we went over in the dead of night and just stole Africans from their beds as they slept. Well, we all know that's not what happened, that their government sold them to us. Did the villagers themselves actually know? I mean, no, probably not. They probably didn't get a memo saying, hey guys, you're going to America. But the fact is, somebody knew about it. But her teacher was teaching that nobody had any idea. We just, I guess, hopped over in the blink of an eye in our ships and stole them out of their beds. And nobody ever knew what happened to them. They just vanished. And she had also taught that white people were the only people to have ever owned slaves. She said at one point that white people were evil as she was showing a video on slavery and cried about it. I mean, it was ridiculous. Me and my husband were having to go back every day after school and teach our kids proper history. Like, yes, slavery happened, and it happened for a while, but no, we weren't the only ones that had slavery. As a matter of fact, we ended slavery. We died to end slavery.
I mean, most slave ships, though, if you look at the manifest of the slave ships, though, you notice most slave ships were owned by Jews.
Yes, but, I mean, of course you can't say that because it's anti-Semitic. I mean, God forbid they actually teach the truth of it in school.
Yeah.
I mean, like we often find on the Britcast, though, it's like we've often got our hands tied, for instance, because it's like even calling something out. I mean, everyone on the Britcast is potentially a thought criminal. We're facing time in jail just for basically stating the truth. I mean, I went on a national syndicated radio programme talking about Holocaust denial as a troll. Yeah, did you see that? The Ian Freeman Live, where he does his free talk live. Yeah, and I went on doing the Holocaust hoax thing. And the thing is, it completely changed. For a start, as he were like having to answer it back in real time. And then because it's a live show, people were ringing in going, I didn't know about this. I didn't know the communists killed more people than the far right. So again, but
it was a good troll because you actually like got them to take you seriously. And there was one guy kicking off, wasn't there? Like, get him off the show or something. And then like the other guy was like, oh no, let him speak. And then you got sort of everyone sort of getting curious about it.
I mean, that would make, for a full week afterwards, the call board would, I mean, it weren't even people we knew. Random people who'd been long-time listeners of the show rung in and went, wait a minute. But it's the same, though. I mean, it's like in our schools, for instance. All it takes is one parent to call out the falsehood of this, and then that child to go back into the classroom and say, Mummy and Daddy say differently.
My kids know the truth. Now, my middle child, the one that just recently finished fifth grade, she worries me. She's got some really liberal tendencies. I mean, she really worries me. But my oldest daughter, she's pretty well on board. I mean, I haven't given her like full-blown 100% red pills. She's just not emotionally and she maturity-wise, she's just not there. But I've also taught them that, I mean, what we talk about here, we have to keep here because she can't go to school and announce, you know, the real version of history. She can't. And I mean, that's what the shame is. It's like looking at me in real life, you would never know what I am and what my beliefs are ever. I would just look like the normal average person to you, but I would still automatically 100% my entire character will be judged just because I'm a white nationalist.
I'm lucky at my job because for years I've been like the comedian. So now I've just imported this line of thinking into my comedy. So I crack jokes or like people will say things like, oh yeah, I'm just a Nazi. You know what I mean? I'm going to get a little Hitler. I'm going to shave my moustache and get a little Hitler tash. And you go, oh, you're so funny. And then
you
I'll
need
say
to
something
be
like,
careful with that though, because I'm the same. I'm always a joker. And then like I've recently got more serious about stuff and people say to me on the side, oh, maybe you shouldn't joke about that all the time because people might take it seriously. And I don't care, but like we're saying, you can lose your job over this. You can lose your family.
No, definitely. Ridiculous. Definitely. In a way, I'm sort of lucky because I do have to work around a lot of black people and coloured, mixed race people. And they talk really openly about loads of different stuff. And I can safely talk to them about these things and have a laugh about it and be serious as well. And like, there's all nodding heads and like, oh yeah, the Jews. I had a guy who's from Bermuda. And one day he just went, you know what? I think the Jews are behind all this. And my jaw dropped. I was like, what are you saying? And he's like, oh, well, I was looking on a website about weapons and it was about Israel. And then I followed some links and I was like, the Jews rule the world, don't they? And I was, can I just record you saying this so that people don't think I'm lying? And lots of other little things like that. But if I'm talking to any like white people, then that's where it gets dodgy. So I've got to be careful. But
yeah, the white people.
Down world.
I do feel like our main problem is our own people. It's a bit sad to say that. Yeah.
Because like you said, the
really
foreigner...
I mean, we can be downright vicious to each other.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the Muslim and the foreigner amongst us, they view themselves in a collective, like, or as a singular, like the voting block, for instance. Yet white people are frequently told, like, oh, you're all... Like, they play upon our individuality to a daft extent with white people. Yet with other groups, isn't it interesting, like, oh, they're Muslim, and that there incorporates, like, a very wide bracket. But, oh, white doesn't exist, and you're all individuals. Go and play. And it's like...
You're
like,
unique.
There's no such thing as white culture.
We're all unique, but by the same shampoo and the same makeup. So, it always makes me laugh.
Now, I will say that I've found with my family, because I'm in the Bible Belt, so, I mean... You talk about church and stuff, Jew worshiping 100%, it is insane, which I was the same way before I was red-pilled. But I have found that whenever I'm talking to my family about it, if I approach it and, like, if I'm wanting to red-pill them on it and make them kind of notice something, if I approach it as, oh, you know, the non-religious Jews, if I separate the religious Jews from the non-religious, which to me, I mean, I don't know if you guys agree, but the same. But for normie's sake, if I separate the two, if I say, you know, oh, the political Jewish people are the ones that run the government or the ones that do this, they don't take nearly as much offense to it. They don't shut you down as quickly as they do if you just point them out as a whole. But again, I'm in the Bible Belt, so we're taught, you know, God's chosen people and you just absolutely don't mess with them because God will smite you. So
America's greatest chosen ally, Israel. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you get red pilled?
Yeah, that's a good question.
How did I? My husband, actually. He was on. He started off originally on B. I don't think that did much for red pilling him, but he migrated over to pole, and you know how pole is. So that red pilled him, and he, oh, bless his heart, 2 years. 2 years it took him to red pill me. And it started off, you know, I would scream and rant the same tired lines. Don't mess with the Jews. They're God's chosen people. And God just doesn't like that. Never mind the fact that, you know, Jesus was pretty clear on Jews in the New Testament. So, but I overlooked that. I went from completely just being angry. I mean, the second he even mentioned it, I was just no logic involved at all. I was just angry, angry that he dared to say anything about the Jews. And then it went to, you know, I kind of gaffed it off as though you're just, oh, you and the Jews again. And he was listening to Hitler speeches one day. And I happened to glance over at the computer and I was, you know, first I heard Hitler and, you know, my jimmies were kind of rustled. But once I actually looked over and read what he was saying, it gave me goosebumps. And I looked at him and like kind of, I was really like, I begrudgingly admitted, you know, well, I guess he was a good public speaker and kind of stomped off.
He's a good orator. He's good at doing the talkings.
Charismatic.
He was good at words. Well,
that's quite interesting, though. So would you say, like, the first sort of part of your red pilling was the JQ? Because that's normally, like, the last part for many people.
100%. 100% the Holocaust.
So you
absolutely
took the hardest pill first.
Took me 2 years, but I did it finally. But it made all the other ones so much easier. It was like immediately after taking that one, if I even heard anything remotely conspiracy theory related, I was like, it's the Jews!
I'm going to drop for this. Bear with us.
I just feel so Jewish, they say.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hit me one day with almanac numbers. He said, you know, if 6 million died, why are they not accounted for? You know, they've debunked it by saying, oh, we just basically in so many words, we forgot to add them, guys. He said that's a pretty big event to, you know, forget to factor in the numbers for. And I had no logical explanation at all. None. I could not explain that away because numbers don't lie.
Well, the official re-estimate now is 1.5 million because even Sean Spicer let that one out, didn't he, in the Trump speech. He says, what about the other 5 million victims of the Holocaust? And everyone went, and then it turns out, well, actually, no, there were
people saying 12 million recently.
Yeah, well, originally, the numbers were that. They were a lot higher than 6, and then they got revised to 6, and then down to 1.5. So, eventually, it'll turn out it was 1, and that were a mistaken identity, I bet.
Well, you know, the International Red Cross has it as, what was their official number? Like 751... It's like 751K, but only roughly half of those were even Jewish.
Yeah, and a lot of them, the Red Cross camps, apparently not just double registered, but triple registered names. So 700,000 times 3. You know what I mean? You can see why the number would appear big. You know what I mean? Because I actually think 1.5 is probably a lot. And I mean, I don't know what your views about the Holocaust. It's just like, from our like historical view, it seems to be an internment camp for people who, what we'd call in politics, a fifth column, you know, enemy combatants within a nation state. And then
in America, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Americans had Japanese people in internment camps.
Yeah.
But the difference between the Americans and the Germans were the Americans weren't having bombing raids conducted against them. So, example,
the Americans won the war.
Well, that's the thing, but if the Americans hadn't won the war and America had got bombed into submission like Germany, then there would have been pictures of, oi, there, look what they're doing to our, like, Japanese, you know, a lot of skinny Japs. That would have been, you know, that's the reality of it. Because, like I say, when all your communication and roads and rail are bombed out, you can't feed your own people. You're hardly going to feed criminals. You know, there's a reason they kept the women and kids separate. Because, like you say, a lot of them, there were criminal elements within these work camps, you know what I mean? They had to separate people out, you know, less chance of chicanery going on.
But yeah, he got me with the numbers, and then I think it was probably 3 hours later, I was watching The Greatest Story Never Told, cried like a baby, went through probably a 2-week grieving period, where I was like, God, I've hated Hitler my whole life, but now I'm really sad he died. And
I'm sure he forgives
my power level... power level he's completely alive, leaked out all over the place. Power level, I made the mistake of trying to immediately, trying to take on hell with the squirt gun. I just immediately was trying to red pill all the people everywhere. So I was hitting my sister with it, who was very resistant. She thought I was insane. And then I had posted with Open Gates. I posted it to my Facebook before I deleted my normie Facebook. And I had this whole rant about how, you know, if I were ISIS and I would be tucking a German flag or, you know, whatever flag in beside their ISIL flag and sending them on their merry way right on over unchecked. And it was the very next day that the Bataclan attack happened. And she called me that night and she was like, "You were right." It's like, yes, I was. But she still wasn't completely sold on the Holocaust. But I had and there's a picture of Hitler and he's bent down with the little girl and he's like smiling in her face, the little blonde haired girl. And there's some flowers and stuff around. It's real cute. But anyways, she's seen
there's
that picture. I didn't even
theory that that's Angela Merkel.
I actually have heard that one.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, she's seen it. I didn't even mean for her to see it. I was trying to watch Hillary's alt-right speech where she ranted about the frog. Pepe. But I was trying to watch that picture on my background, and she just immediately, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, that's Hitler with a little girl. Why is he smiling?" He liked little girls. He was happy to be seeing the little girl. And it just blew her mind because she had this picture of him as just being this monster, and he shouldn't have been smiling at this little girl. He should have been like throwing her into a camp. And I guess that's what did it with her. It's just, it's funny what makes it click. Different things make it click for different people. For me, it was the numbers. For her, it was a pretty picture.
I've got a funny story about all this. My dad, he's a lovely bloke, but he's quite into his history and stuff. And he's like well into World War II.
Oh, a history spurg.
Yeah. He feels awful about the Holocaust and everything because he thinks, well, I don't really know if this is true or not, but he thinks there was loads of boats of Jews that came to England and we turned them away and they got put in camps because of it. But anyway, we were on holiday somewhere in Europe and he loves to see all the sort of like Holocaust memorial sculptures and stuff. And there was this one sculpture in this sort of old town part of a European city we were visiting. And we were looking around it and this group of Jews turned up. There was probably about 70 of them or something. They were on a school trip all with yarmulkes and stuff. My dad sort of got into the they were singing songs on the guitar and stuff, and dad got into the spirit of it, and then he like announced that he wanted to apologize to them all on behalf of the Brits who didn't help them on World War II. And he started crying and he like went down on his knees and he was lying prostrate in front of them like asking for all their forgiveness. It sounds like such a cuck, but his heart's in the right place. Yeah, they all got him up and like they were hugging him and stuff and like saying it was okay. But then probably a year later, I sort of mentioned something in passing about Holohoax. He was sort of frowning about it. And within 2 minutes of Googling, he found that like 2 to 3 million of them were just Soviet Jews who died of starvation during World War II. It's like nothing to do with the Holocaust. And then he was like, "Oh, right, yeah, the numbers must be a bit off."
That is not a small amount to be off on, though, really. It's not.
No.
Not when the whole of them is just supposed to be 6 million, and then you find out that 2 to 3 million or something. That's
like,
really, I mean, that's
his
half
first
of your
Google
number right
search
there.
As well. Like, the first thing he searched for on Google came up with that.
The seed there planted.
Yeah.
On the narrative, though, where they turn around and say one's too many. Well, likewise, then, if one's too many, but you better start knocking numbers off, because we're seeing a bit of Billy bullshit in the numbers here. Like I say, how does 12 become 6 to become 1.5? You know, I mean, be honest with you, I mean, that were quite, like you were saying, though, about your red pilling experiences, though. I mean, the JQ is quite a hard one to sell normally. And normally it's like something that you'd probably keep in reserve, even though it's like an overarching aspect behind this. Yeah, JQ, quite good.
And now, a spot of tea time with the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah, I'm going to make it, was it now, a Redcoat Revenge Reparations Tour. When I come over demanding money.
If you're going to come over to America, the best place to go not to toot my own horn or anything, is probably Tennessee. We've got our areas that are still nice. We're like everybody else, though. We're starting to kind of feel the urge for white flight, for sure. At least I have been, even in my small town. So I know the bigger cities probably have it even worse. So, but as far as nice people and pretty scenery, this is the place to go.
So do you live on a like rural then, I presume? I presume it's not like suburbia where you live. It's
No, it's just a little town. Everybody knows everybody, unfortunately. Most of the people you don't want to know. But just your typical small town backwoods hillbillies.
It sounds like bliss.
Yeah. No, it is nice. It is really nice. Like I can drive around with my car covered in Trump stickers and a Celtic cross, and I don't have to worry about getting keyed. Like I said, I can go out in town and not worry. As a matter of fact, not only do I not have to worry, I'll get like honks or people coming up to me and saying, "Oh, I love your Trump stickers." So—
Hello, Jesus here. Just giving you a message that you need to get on that 1-4-3-3 shit. And Rick Turpin is touched by the Holy Spirit of autism.
Rick, always doing great things. Dude, they're the best podcast in the alt-right, in my opinion. In the entire alt-right, in the world, in my opinion. They're the best. Rick and those guys.
Don't watch that fucking pommy podcast. Like, fucking, just a bunch of pommies around talking about fucking, I don't know, some island in fucking Europe or something. Well, if it didn't have fucking pommies on it, it'd probably do a lot better.
Rick, I don't know if he'd describe himself as being an alt-writer, but yeah, Rick and I go back.
The caller that just called in?
Yeah. Yeah, he has his own show. I think it's called Knights of Round Britcast. Yeah, he has his own unique views on this. He's called it before.
Is he like Sargon of Akkad?
I'd let him speak for himself. I'm not going to call him any names.
I'm Charlie Stewart, and I endorse this podcast.
Nobles and ladies, peasants and serfs, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Britcast. It's been great to have Lady M join us today, bringing us the extravagant tales of the He Will Not Divide Us flag affair. Care to do outros, everyone? Sir Bouncelot.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, lads and ladies. Really nice to speak to you and hear that story. It was great. And hope to see you all, speak to you all again soon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Sigmire next.
Had a bit of story time around the fire tonight. Thanks so much, Lady M, for being with us. We hope you'll join us again for some more tales, and hopefully I'll have another season in future. And Shire, if you're listening to this, it's, what is it, 4-1 to us now? 4-0? So yeah, your move, Shire.
Yeah. And Lady M, would you like to do any outros and anything you'd like to plug or anywhere you'd like people to be redirected?
No, but thank you for having me. It was nice looking back and laughing over it all over again. It was fun.
it's been nice to hear it, though, because it's nice to hear a funny story to alleviate an otherwise dreary world of politics and being outbred by Packies. But yeah, that's been a really nice story to end our evening on. Yeah, thank you for letting us hear it. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, artists and spurgs, for listening in tonight. When you hear the magic number 1433, pour yourself a cup of tea. See you again.